thanks for talking to me today, Raylene. What we're talking about here is actually what's going on in the Burrup Peninsula. Can you give my listeners some understanding of what's going on for the traditional custodians?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, everyone. Well, we have a UNESCO World Heritage nomination area, surrounding area and site up for nomination. I think it's going to be announced in the next coming week or couple of days. There's over a million petroglyphs of rock art from 50,000-year-old rock art. We have a Woodside Petroleum LNG. We have the Pluto Project. We also have the Scarborough Burrup Hub that is awaiting to be starting development anytime soon, which is an extension and an added project on the Pluto and Woodside projects. We also have Yarra Fertiliser plant, who sits directly in the middle of all these amazing sacred significant sites. We also have Perdaman, which is a chemical urea plant, up for a project, developed project within any time soon. At this stage, SOS, Save Our Songlines, have put forward a Section 9, which was knocked back by our Minister, Tanya Pilbasic. We've now been granted a Section 10 in terms of having a reporter come and report, the concerns of everybody that has put in submissions for a Section 10, which is a protection order over the Burrup and particular areas in the Burrup. I'm extremely concerned of these projects, even more concerned that these projects will consist of 40-plus thousand-year-old rock art being moved or removed from their area and site. For us as cultural custodians, we have an obligation and responsibility to look after the mura, our country, our land. We also have certainly a responsibility of our history to preserve and protect it. We find it highly, incredibly, outrageous that our state government and federal government are supporting these projects to go ahead, given that it's affecting us cultural custodians, it's affecting our history, and it's affecting what we do. We practice and we preach and we teach, and we still practice our law and our traditions in this area. And in saying so, our connection to the country, it's phenomenal. We have a heartfelt, warm unity and solidarity out there for all who are concerned, for all the Ngurra people all around Australia who are going through the same fight we are in terms of protecting our cultural heritage. We're hoping that the UNESCO World Heritage nomination announcement will keep some protections over the Burrup. However, if it gets through because of the universal values, then let's hope and welcome this this outcome. However, our concerns are great. Not only is it that they're destroying and desecrating our sacred and significant sites, government and industry are also putting more impact on the climate change, our global warming, with the emissions that are critical right now, our Earth feeling the brunt of this. And we can see all over the world that there is significant changes in our climate, there's significant changes in our sea level, rising sea levels, the heat is getting much more, the water, the rain. I mean, when is this going to stop? When is enough enough? And when is our government going to come to the table with what they promised when we had all elected them for our current government? They've made these announcements and in terms of climate change, in terms of, connecting and coming together with the First Nations people. When and how? How is this going to happen? When is this going to happen?
Yeah, well, like you say, it is contentious. This Woodside liquefied natural gas and also the fertiliser projects, it just seems like quite an extraordinary thing to be doing when you've got such a cache of incredible world-significant rock art.
That's right. It's right. It just blows my mind that, you know, our state government would think, you know, Murujuga being deserving of a UNESCO World Heritage nomination, that they would turn around and, you know, put more projects and more destructive projects in the same area. You know, and if people need to come and see what is happening out in the borough. People need to come and see the photos that are out there with the concerns of these big projects. They don't, you know, you have to come and see it.
Do you think that because it is so distant from Perth and places like that in other parts of the country that people are really just not realising what's at stake?
That's right. I mean, you know, we've had so many visitors come in and come and look at this most beautiful, magnificent, remarkable area. You know, the sea, the blue-green aqua seas, the red rocks, you know, the mud that has been carved, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. And, you know, this is our rock art. This is rock. This is art. This is history. This is telling us back in that, you know, that some of the rock art features or of the colonials coming in on their ships. We're talking, you know, in the 1800s or more. You know, so this is documented, archived history that is documented and archived on these rocks. So it's huge. And I don't see how, you know, our 40-plus thousand-year-old rock art is any different to the painting that was had the Woodside stamped on it. You know, that's 100 years old. How is it more important than what our rock art is? How is it more important that people aren't understanding? They need to come and see what the concerns are, what we have. You've got this most beautiful, unique, remarkable, universal valued area of significance for not only cultural people and the people of culture, which we carry this. We also have, you know, scientists who have evidence that our rock art is being slowly destroyed by the emissions and the destruction and the pollution that come from these projects that sit right smack bang in the middle of it. How does it work? Industry and culture do not work hand in hand.
What?
They never have and they never will.
Why have they put a fertiliser plant in the middle of the rock art? What are they collecting guano or what is that? Why?
Well, I mean, that's a question for state government, the governments of the world and industry to tell us. That the truth needs to be told. You know, there's always this argument and, you know, to and fro controversy whether these emissions are destroying our rock art. Listen, this rock art's been here for evolutions after evolutions, millenniums, and yet only in the last 40 years and 30 years plus, they're just starting to understand more and know the significance of the changes physically, all right, and the scientific changes. We can go out here and see that our Munda is being destroyed, the rock. You know, the patina and it's flaking. The coloration of the Munda, the rock. You know, it's getting a sort of fungi on it. So, and then we look at the environment around it. You know, our medicine plants, the normal plants that are supposed to be out there that should be blooming when they bloom and flowering when they flower, they don't do it anymore. Our animals, there's three distinctive kangaroos that no longer exist on the borough in the last 3-4 years. I mean, this is a concern. If that's what's happening to our animals and our environment, our plants and animals, can you imagine what it's doing to the humans that are out there working and who live in the area? So this is a big concern, and people really need to start understanding that this doesn't just affect the surrounding areas, it affects us as well. And as cultural custodians, we have an obligation to look after and preserve the ngura, but we also have an obligation to look after the people within it.
You've already found that Woodside's gas developments have destroyed thousands of pieces of the irreplaceable ancient rock art. That's true, isn't it?
Yep, that's very true. I was sitting on that Pluto project with my mum, and I couldn't understand why she was crying and so upset and bawling when these big giant rocks are being ripped out of the ground like a tooth being ripped out of your mouth. And, you know, I now understand why. And a hill, a mountain that used to be there, is no longer there. And right sits bang on the middle of it. is a giant gas plant, and right next to it is another LNG plant. And the pipeline that they want to go is, you know, 500 kilometres on the seabed, next to right next to the gas pipe that's already there. I mean, this already, you know, 22 holes in the 22, you know, drill holes in the next two, next 6 years, that's a lot of digging around in the seabed.
Yeah.
You know, it's very concerning. I mean, we're talking about our song lines. We're talking about the connection from this water all the way to the other side of Australia and connecting through all these other significant country and significant areas within other tribes. It's a huge concern.
Now, you've been talking about wait. You want them to wait until the United Nations World Heritage Committee finishes its process, aren't you?
Yeah, well, and more so the fact that this is being announced anytime soon, which is fantastic and very welcomed. And we're praying that it gets over the line, given that you know the universal value that Murujuga hold. But in saying that, it's really the Section 10 where we're waiting and hoping that you know all projects are being on kept on hold or are on hold. And the minister, you know, does state that, you know, she should put this on hold until the Section 10 reporter's report is given to her. And then, obviously, whatever decision our minister makes, when she makes the final decision once the reporter, Section 10 reporter, has done their report and investigation, then we can go from there. But until then, it makes no sense that they are able to continue any work that needs to be done, and we're talking about these projects, without the Section 10, of course, you know, being looked at and awaiting those processes.
Given that it's such an important thing, what do you hope other people could do to help you raise awareness?
Look, we're trying to raise as much awareness as we can. People don't understand the significance and the impacts that are going on up in the Pilbara area. Western Australia, there are other areas within Australia that are going through the same thing, Ngururamog, and we feel for them. We know that this is a challenge for them, but for all Ngurrara people, but also for everybody. This is such an important a history that we're coming through. To get UNESCO World Heritage, it would be the most valued, you know, in terms of tourism. We don't have to put all these projects up. You know, there's millions and millions of dollars in tourism that we could establish and bring people to our country and show them what we hold here, the most significant, oldest rock art in the world. And, you know, you talk about, you know, Egypt. They're 14, you know, they're only 14,000 years old. You know, we're looking at 50, 60,000-year-old rock art. History, you know, a millennium and an evolution that still stands strong. And we're wanting people, everybody who has concerns, not only for our cultural heritage, but also it's a human rights thing. We have a right to protect our history. We have a right to preserve and protect what is ours. And we're not given that right at all through our Aboriginal Heritage Act, which is solely not to help the Indigenous people, it's to actually destroy their significance. It needs to be looked at. It needs to be stripped down and looked at. You know, we also have our environmental issues, the impacts that these projects all around Australia and beyond, the impacts are, you cannot come back from this. Once we get to that more than critical stage of our environment, look, we're seeing it around the world now. Mother Earth is not happy and it's not going to get any better. And if we want to survive the next 50 years, we need to start waking up people.
Mm. Thank you very much, Raylene, for talking to me.
No worries. Thanks so much.